You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about relationship development plans. How to plan to develop your relationship.
It's a tool that we can use for keep your relationship.
Keep, build, grow.
And enjoy.
Definitely enjoy.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important part, isn't it?
Yes.
To enjoy.
Enjoy what you do.
Maybe we got to make sure that that's in there. So when we talk about the relationship development plan today, or plans, Make sure enjoyment is on the top of your list of that's what you want as part of your relationship.
Yes.
Unless you like not having enjoyment.
You acting and then you missing and you enjoy. It's a cycle.
So today we have a very succinct program built off scientific
Engineering
program of development plans, quality management, and such. We're going to look at relationship analysis. We're going to look at the plan development, measuring of milestones. Milestones being those mile markers along the way that you know you're moving towards achieving the goals you're setting, and what improvements and corrective actions you may take in development of your plan.
I guess it's important to share that methodology. We mix in some engineering best practice that we do every day, what I do every day in my job, and then we try to connect with the relationship.
So we're about to show you a graphic that we developed, put together, that takes into account an engineering best practice and relationship development in one graphic.
Yeah.
One very busy graphic. But we're going to be breaking it down into its little subsets and subcategories.
Spaghetti chart? Yeah.
Almost. So here it is. Memorize it. We're going to talk through this. We're going to talk through, and just look at the words in red right now. We're going to be talking through the planning, the doing, the checking, and the acting. The part of developing a plan, doing it, then checking on are you successful, right? Verifying if you're successful, and then making any more changes or actions you need to improve it. We're going to break that down into all those subsections because we think it's important that these plans aren't just based upon what we think is right. These are successful plans that have been used not only in the relationship end of things and in psychology, but in business.
Yeah, that is the principle by Deming. They say the improvement is a cycle.
The Deming cycle.
Deming cycle. So it's acting, it's planning, do, acting, and check.
And check. And so every day, this is what Lisette does. She audits companies. She works through their action plans, their quality management systems that include this whole cycle. That is part of a standard, international standard. So thousands and thousands and thousands of companies use this to become stronger. Companies that do ISO and quality management are more profitable.
Mm-hmm. Stable.
More stable.
Long-term
and grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we are jumping to the next step, which is if you do this in your relationship, they'll be more stable.
Mm-hmm.
They'll grow, longer lasting, and of course, more enjoyment.
Yes, this is our flavor that we put.
Number one. So let's move into this thing here, where we're going to talk about the relationship analysis first. A couple of things that we want to do in relationship analysis is we have to understand what the relationship is. If we're in a partnership with a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a partner, whatever it could be, is that you want to be able to define your relationship So you actually understand where you are right now. What does that mean to you? Because you can't go to a next step unless you understand.
What is the plan?
Where you are now, so you can understand the plan to where you want to go. We want to look at different requirements of the plan. And I'll move off this slide. But there's a lot of outside forces on relationships. And some of them are the family and friends.
The social.
Social.
Yeah, force a lot.
Sure, financial, where you work and how does that impact? How much time do we have to spend together? You're traveling, I'm working long hours, you are. How do we fit that in? How do we fit in our function, our job functions? Mm-hmm. And how do we balance that with financial obligations as well as financial or money coming in to balance money in, money out, plans for the future, mm-hmm. what we want to do? These are forces, and that's why we have so many F's in here, right? We want them to be the forces that act upon and impact our ability to make a cohesive plan that we can actually be successful in carrying out.
Yes, and I go back to the standard. So it's in one section they're talking about the context of your organization. Or can be or relationship. Okay. And the context is a lot of partnership because, like you say, we have a family, we have a business, job, friends, neighbors. Okay? So all this is partnership of your business or your relationship that you need to take care of, so you're not alone like you and me in this equation.
Yeah. Right. We can't make decisions upon our future without taking into account where our children are. Mm-hmm. Where they might be 10 years from now. Will they have families? Will they have children? Will they have pets that they want us to watch? Who knows? We don't know. But we can start thinking about this, so as we make our plans, we may have to change them a little bit to take into account family.
Yeah.
And then friends, too. Where do we have our friends? Oh, all our friends are in North Carolina, but we want to move to
California.
So does that make sense? Maybe it does because all our friends want to take California vacations. Yeah. So now we have a vacation house in California, and we actually have more people visiting us.
And our friend is in Texas.
Oh. Now what? Who knows? So we talked about family, friends, faith. If you have religious ties, if you belong to a church or a synagogue or a group that just gets together regularly, any type, really, and that is very important to you, that's going to impact your choices that you make. We talked about, fitness and freedom. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this before. If I want to, one of my plans for the future is I want to run a marathon. And so I need to run 2 hours a day every day.
That's just a good idea. Okay.
No, but the point would be is that if I want to do that, like my goal is this in the future, and your goal is you want to have more relaxing time on a beach, that we may be spending more time away from each other than together. So is that something that actually fits and we need to discuss? And you might be, I need those extra 2 hours away from you just to relax on the beach. Really?
Yes,
oh, my.
Run.
All of this ties into the future as well, right? The future.
Yeah.
What is our future?
Book with my glass of wine and you running in the
run
in the
circle.
Ocean.
Go again. Whip. Go. Go. Into the water. And finally, we want to talk about the expectations of the couple. So for a relationship, what are the expectations of the couple? Sometimes we don't discuss the expectations. We get married at a young age. We have these dreams that are really standard dreams. Oh, we want to have a family. We want to each have a vehicle. We want to, you know, we have very standard dreams potentially when we're younger. And then as you start to look at the future, and maybe you look into the future even longer, like we look at when we're 80, 90, 120 years old, what, you know, if we're around, where do we want to be? How do we want to live? Who do we want to take care of? And who do we want to take care of us? These are things that you might not think about.
Yeah.
And if you start thinking about long term, there's some benefits about thinking about long term, but having, what is that, realistic expectations. And do we have the same?
And also be open and dry, because the way that you can put the expectation in one paper versus, yes, I have in my mind, maybe change. So
that brings up a really good point, putting mm-hmm. stuff on paper. We talked a couple episodes ago about anxiety, and that you can either approach it or you can avoid it. And if you approach it, you have to see. Like, sometimes people have future anxiety. I'm afraid of what the future brings. So you don't look at it. You just kind of keep your head down.
Yeah.
You do your work. You're trying to get enough money to make your car payment, your apartment payment. And you're very anxious because you haven't had the chance to really approach. It's fearful to approach the future and say, okay, this is my anxiety. What is it? And so the writing down is now analyzing. You're doing an analytical part. You're analyzing the future. You're analyzing that anxiety. What are my expectations? And then you start addressing the things that are bothering you. I'm having a hard time with my finances. Okay, how would I work that out? What, I have to work on my budget. And these are things that are stressful. But if you don't do it, they stay stressful.
Yeah.
And if you do it, you may say it's still stressful, but you at least have the opportunity to get through it.
And also, it's a good technique to see in paper, so the visual problem, figure out consequence, figure out action, establish plan. So when you do them paper, it's more sustainable to have a plan versus feel is in your brain.
It is. And if you remember the story I told you about a past relationship where the monthly finances just weren't working and trying to talk about it was very difficult. So by putting them on paper, here is the mortgage, here's the car payment, here's the insurance payment, mm-hmm. here's the amount of money it costs to, if we said, buy food or insurance,
phone,
all that. You put that down and you go, okay, all my outgoing is $6,000, but I only have $3,700 coming in every month. On paper, you now see there's an issue.
It's a big hole.
A big hole. And what that happened, what that did was actually it broke the relationship up, because we couldn't have the communication about the challenge that we were having. But putting it on paper, which approached the anxiety of not having that conversation, forced the conversation, and then the outcome was, this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough conversation to have, but by approaching it, you get through. You're always, where you are today, 2 days from now, it's going to be 2 days from now, you're going to be on the other side of that problem, or you're going to still be in it. And sometimes addressing it is the difficult part. So writing things down helps you address the future and helps you plan to figure out how to address that future. Let's go to the next piece here. This I find very interesting. So there's something in business called a SWOT analysis
mm-hmm.
with an OT, SWOT, and that is a strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threat analysis in a business. Typically what that is you look at your business, you look at what are the strengths within the business and my people in the company, and you do that for weaknesses internally in the company. You know, where do we have strengths, where do we have weaknesses? And then the opportunities and threats typically now have you face outward to the environment, to government regulations, to competition, to what's going on in society and trends. And you look at the opportunities for your company to maybe leverage and take advantage of those things. And you look at the threats that may be happening because of outside forces.
Did you make a threat for the new app? You know that.
A threat for the new app?
Yeah, so the guy from Facebook created a new app called Threat.
Is that really?
Yeah.
So it's, this is the one that competes with Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter, Threat. Threat? It's called Threat or Threat?
Yeah, I guess it's the same, the spell, yeah.
Threat. Thread.
It's difficult to pronounce. So for Spanish people, we don't use that. We use Twitter.
Twitter. That's it. That's all. Tweet.
Tweet.
It's very tweet of you.
It's a tweet.
So let's share this image here where we can talk about this now with a couple. Individually, you can look at, you can put this down on a piece of paper for the two of you in the relationship or for yourself, which is, where are your strengths? So internally, what's your experience in life, your experience with a job, your experience in handling things? I'm really good financially. I'm really good working out. I have an education in these things. These are the things I know. These are my skills and where I'm strong. These are my traits. I'm an introvert, but I like being extroverted at times to speak. I like speaking in front of groups.
Really?
But I don't like speaking individually with people. I don't know. However it works.
Or by the show. By the show.
Another strength could be, what is our network and resources? Who do we know? Mm-hmm. Where are they? What businesses are they in?
Yeah.
Right? So again, we were talking about, if we wanted to move to California, a resource might be to know someone in California who could help direct us to the better neighborhoods, or neighborhoods that meet what we're looking for. Maybe there's a realtor out there they know. Maybe there's a banker they know. Maybe there's access to transportation. You know, mm-hmm. If you go here, you can find a bus that takes you there. That having resources that help you with resources.
So that's a strength. That's so valuable. So when I immigrate from Venezuela to United States, I missing so much my all of, when some people say me, what are you missing? Of course, my family. But The second is the old connection that you create. The network. For you have your lawyer, you have your doctor, medical doctor, you have your plumbers, you have your mechanical guy for the car, you have somebody that take care of you, your land. So you lose everything. So create again, this is what are you talking
it's
about?
It's like when you lose your iPhone and all your contacts are gone.
There you go.
So that's the equivalent of it. Imagine just losing everything in your phone and having to start again. That's moving from one country to another when you have no contact there. But that is one of the strengths of having resources, having people you can depend upon who can also depend upon you. So some of the weaknesses are the opposite of that, is if you're missing experience, you have irrelevant education. So the opportunities for you as a couple are in science, technology, engineering, and math, and you have a psychology background. And so you're missing, your education is not relevant to the opportunities out there. You lack skills and things, you know, I want to refinish my basement, but I have no skills of plumbing. I have no skills of carpentry, electrical. And then you talk about isolation, being isolated from others, not having connection, or negative traits. Negative traits being that I'm neurotic, or I don't like talking to people. You know, that I am introvert. You know, I don't want to talk to people. So some of these traits can be negative when it comes to us and how we interact with people in our environment and what opportunities we'll have together in the future. And when we come back, we're going to talk about opportunities and threats and more with 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Before the break, and a few minutes back, we were talking about threats, and we were trying to think about Zuckerberg,
my
Facebook.
English, my English is not threat.
So it's thread.
Yeah.
Threads, which is very difficult to pronounce. You could have come up with something.
I see a comedian, a Spanish comedian, say, why this word? We don't can't say bread. We want to change all the words.
That's okay. He doesn't plan on being successful with it.
No.
Of course he does. He has all our information. He's already purchased it for me. No, who knows?
You know? No, suppose I see some graphic about statistics, so many people have 1 million subscribers. So suppose and Twitter take like the 3 months, and Instagram take like the 2 months, but for this, take a 2 hour
for like 40 million people or something. Yeah. It was an incredible amount of people.
Yeah. So the way that you can open something and everybody subscribe. So no subscribe. Oh, yeah.
Is that it or not?
Who knows?
They do it, or maybe they just automatically do it for you.
Yeah.
All right. So
we don't know.
Getting back, maybe we're on Threads right now.
Yeah.
Hey, our new listening audience on Threads.
Maybe we need that for our show. You know?
Maybe. Who knows?
Subscribe here.
I don't know.
It's so many traffic.
LA Talk Radio. Our friends in LA, right?
Yeah,
so
yes.
If we move to California, we can be in the radio station instead of our bunker. Instead of our bunker here. Where are we? No one knows where we are. We're in a small little bunker here on the side of a hill.
In Iceland.
We're Iceland-lated.
Yeah.
Iceland-lated. All right. So going back to what is it called? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
Okay.
Not threads, but threats. We're going to be looking at now opportunities and threats. So as a couple, when you look at your relationship, you would also look at what other things you can do. What are their opportunities for us, Lizette and me? What are the opportunities for additional education and training? What can we learn? Can we do a show on relationship planning and can we learn more about planning relationships?
Every week. And this is a plan.
That's the plan.
We do something to improve the areas that we learn about how we recognize each other.
We do. Yeah. And it's really good because we discuss new topics and new things that we've never discussed before. And as we said, we grow together in these areas. And we're like, wow, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know it before the show either. Now we know it.
Yeah.
Now I know more about threads. I didn't know anything about threads before this. So, in any case, going back to some of the opportunities, relationship building programs, are there things that we can attend? Can we go to, or can we do stuff like this show and learn more to build our relationship? So, some of these are opportunities. Leveraging social and, what was that? There it is, economic trends. And I think one of the things we're looking at is when you are planning your development program with your relationship development program with your partner. Mm-hmm. This isn't just opportunity for you to, you know, what can we do to have a better relationship? But as you're planning for your future, you may say something like, and we talked about this just before the show, one of the social trends are electric scooters, electric bikes, electric cars. And you're like, you know what? I'm really into that. Maybe in California, when we move there, we can open up an electric vehicle rental company, because that's a trend. Mm-hmm. And when we're on top of these trends, is there an opportunity for us to leverage our skills and our strengths? Mm-hmm. Can we leverage those into something that we have some expertise in, but also is a passion?
No, you're talking something important, because so many people can have a lot of knowledge in something, but the critical one is put this knowledge in action. So becoming action is the more difficult part.
That is. Action is tough.
So create, do something, and start to put, I know how customer service work because I are a customer service every time, so why we not put in our project this topic? And then this is how you implement your skill that you have.
Taking action is difficult.
It's difficult, yeah.
Remember we did a seminar many years ago and we talked about how to take action. And I said, how many people want to know how to take action? Raise your hand. And then people would raise their hand. And I'm like, why are you raising your hand? Because you told me to raise my hand. I said, but if you told yourself, raise my hand, and you do, you're basically telling yourself to take action, and you do. And that's one of the things we're trying to say here, is that being able to address that anxiety, that unknown future, and creating a future that you do know by planning for it and saying, these are the things that I want to do and need to do, you can then say, hey, raise my hand. Hey, I'd like to be part of that. I want to volunteer to be part of your group. And now you've raised your hand. Now you get up and you go. It's taking action. And it's basically just telling yourself to do it.
And I understand that some people feel scared or concerned that the mistake, that maybe I fail in the action. But I say that the only way that you can do something is doing. And it's better that you complain by that you failed versus I never did. But that was a really good idea. Okay, but you never implement.
And this has been told hundreds of times. We regret what we didn't do rather than what we did and failed at.
Mm-hmm.
It's more often that we regret all the things we didn't ever try.
But I think about that.
I want to do that someday. Oh, I so bad I didn't do it. Weaknesses. Let's talk about weaknesses. And this one, we have a couple of things that I think would be very interested in relationship analysis. Outside external threats, that we have limited access to training and education. Maybe the areas that we want to develop for ourselves is a very niche area that there's just not opportunity in. And so that could be a threat to us. Or attractive alternatives, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The other is failing to plan for the future, just not doing anything. If you don't plan for the future still shows up.
Mm-hmm.
When you plan for it, you may not achieve your goal, but at least you have an opportunity to. And then finally, failing to communicate with each other is then failure to have common goals. And when you fail to have common goals, your relationship development plans are maybe development plans, but they're not relationship mm-hmm. development plans. Part of a relationship is communication.
Yeah, and the you're talking about planning, and so some people have the belief that, because in the past some people comment about me that I am planning so much.
Mm.
But if you do that, I feel, they say, you don't live the present. You are planning. No, you're planning, you forget the plan because the plan is done, and you enjoy the present. So belief, if you are plan person, is you don't enjoy the right now, the present is wrong. You enjoy more the present when you plan in your future, because you know that time is for enjoy this glass of water or do the show, because I know what I have to do. I organize, I have my schedule,
I agree with the planning is very important. And you said something to me that the United States is known for its movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the United States, there are all these people who they'll write out the scripts, they'll do that because it's Planet Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Let's blame me more.
Never mind, it was a little pun there, Planet Hollywood. But Hollywood is very, script writers, the people who produce, they have access to resources, there's education, there's very smart people, there's equipment, there's knowledge, and it all comes together in the United States. The music industry and the movie industry is very strong because of the interconnection of people. Not only that, is that Hollywood is that one area that people go, I am going there, and it becomes a mecca, that all these resources and knowledge and skilled people go and they're able to network with each other. You have the best actors and actresses and producers and directors and script writers and people who are the camera crew and no lighting and sound, that they all go there. And
you're talking something interesting, you know. So, and this kind of business, you can have intern for free, because so many people want to be in Hollywood.
That's
never
true.
Mind not pay
true.
Me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why you don't do this in the oil and gas company? Oh, come in here.
I
want to work
gas.
Free. No. So I just try to relate.
You have to wipe the oil off your face when you come home for the day.
Yeah.
In any case, the last thing of threat that I had in there, and it actually was that second one that I avoided and said we'd come back to, is attractive alternatives. That sometimes there are all these attractive alternatives, and we may just, there's so many attractive alternatives, I can't choose one that I want to do. And so it becomes a threat, is that when we have so many options and we don't choose any, because if I choose this one, I'm going to miss this one. It's the same in a relationship, that I don't want to commit to Lizette because I have all these other attractive alternatives. Or an attractive alternative, we talk about business, like, I don't want to talk to you about our EV business, our electric vehicle business, because I want to open up a recording studio in Hollywood, but I don't want to talk to you about it because it's my dream and it's not your dream.
I got it. No, we don't go to California.
So we're not going to California. But attractive alternatives in relationships, in a number of shows back, maybe a half a year ago, we talked about this, is that couples who speak negatively about alternatives are happier in their relationship. So when people are derogatory to alternatives, like, you know, there's Pam down the street, and instead of going, oh, you know, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you know that expression?
Yeah.
Instead of saying the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you actually first look for all the negatives. Oh, you know what? I see how she argues with her husband. Ugh. Okay. Mm. Yeah, that's not what I want. You know, or, you know what? I am so happy here. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to destroy what I have to even think about that. And that's terrible because, and you start, it's when you talk negatively, and it sounds bad in a way, but it is, studies have been done, research studies have been done, that couples who are speak derogatorily, I don't even know that's a word, but speak negatively about alternatives and speak positively about their own relationship are happier in their relationship, they have longer relationships, and they can plan to do things in the future together because they're not looking at alternatives, that alternatives are ugly alternatives. Other choices are not as good. This is what I want to do. I'm going for it. And it's like that singular focus.
And also be transparent, because if you say, oh, I want to go because I like to move to California for the weather, for example. So you use this and manipulate because you want to have the studio in California. You know what I mean? So that is not be transparent in the plan. Okay. Don't have a hiding agenda in the plan.
Sure. So I didn't tell you about that part. Okay.
Now you say, and the 100 people watching this show is witness about that.
Okay. Don't. In any case, so the next thing we want to talk about is the strategy, long-term, short-term strategy. That when you start working on your plan, the number one thing to do is look at the strategy for the future, and you look at what is long-term and what is short-term. Long-term is, let's pick another thing. We want to travel to Europe in 2 years, and we want to spend a month in, pick a country.
Lisbon.
In Lisbon, in Portugal. So we look at that long-term, two years from now, we want to spend 1 month in Portugal. So that's a long-term, 2 years out. Short-term, we want to learn more about Portuguese culture. We want to learn about the language. We want to learn about the places we want to visit when we go there. We want to understand how to get transportation there, how to get around the country, where to stay. That you start coming up with all these short-term things that as you accomplish them, it sets you up for more success in that long-term. So you have the long-term strategy and the short-term steps. Why this is important? Why is it important to have a long-term, two-year, five-year, 10-year strategy? It comes down to what we talked about a little while ago, which is how the brain works. That long-term strategies, long-term goals end up becoming kind of a value or belief in your superego, in your subconscious, is that it's an underlying thing that helps you make all your decisions that you're making now without even thinking about it. We'll get back to that slide in a minute. In our book, 90 Day Soulmate, where you do write the things that you want in a relationship, so you're putting down all the things that you want in a relationship, they go into your subconscious. And you start recognizing those things in the people you meet. If you never think about what you want in that relationship, and you never think about who you are and what you want in the relationship, you never automatically start recognizing those things. All you do is recognize the things you used to recognize, which have gotten you in the bad relationships you've been in before.
Because you are focused on this.
You're focused on the things that had attracted you in the past, even though you may say, you know what, I don't want to be involved with that type of person again. The people who aren't like that, you don't even see, you don't even recognize. We talk about that in the book, is that there's a lack of recognition on things we're not aware of. And so if we haven't programmed our subconscious, our superego, our you know, the driving values and beliefs, if we aren't congruent in that with what we want, then our present day decisions, or present-day decisions, are made upon the whim of the wind. And unfortunately, when it comes to relationships and it comes to emotions, the logic of our decisions start fading away as soon as we become emotional. We talk about the prefrontal cortex shutting down.
And well, you don't see.
When we don't write things down, when we don't try to do things logically, when we don't try to set our values and beliefs, then we make things emotionally, which we think are the things that are correct for us and right for us, but we're doing that without a proper decision-making faculty being involved. So anyway, I wanted to go into this slide because we're interfacing with the environment, with our consciousness, and we're making decisions based upon how we're having those interactions, and without a driving force underneath of values and beliefs that are congruent with the long-term goals that we want, we tend to not make the right decisions because our passions can overwhelm logic if we don't have strong values and beliefs.
Yeah, that's a bit, what do you say, that you cannot see the truth.
Blind. You have a blinder on. Blindfold. You have a blindfold on to the truth.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll talk more about relationship development plans on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Here I am again at the bubble tea bar. Oh, being single is not so bad. You go to parties when you want. You have the freedom to do what you want. But I want someone to share my life with. I'm afraid to get hurt again. Keep your head down. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Oh, no. Pretend you didn't see her. She's attractive. But probably not my type. She's probably a Scorpio. Too controlling. But she sure is pretty.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about relationship development plans. We were talking about SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
And the cycle for plan, do, check, act.
Which is based upon the Deming cycle. Deming, the father of quality management.
Yeah.
Very, very big in business all over the world. If it works for thousands, hundreds of thousands of businesses that are more productive, more successful, they grow and have happier employees and retain more people, then we believe that the same is true in relationships.
Yeah, we try to translate knowledge.
We do. So where did we leave off? We left off on, we were talking about the tactics, the resources, and timeline when you have your short-term and long-term strategies, and we're moving in. Sorry, the tactics, resources, and timelines we're going to do next, which, if I hit the right button here we go. So tactics are, what are those little things you can do right now? So when your feet hit the ground, what are you going to do today? The resources, who do you need to be in touch with? What do you need to learn? What do you need to read? We talked about researching something on Portugal. Where do I find that? Where do I find people that may be in Portugal who can help us out? Somebody who can help us with a tour, where to stay. And then timeline, having all of our objectives with a timeline. Mm-hmm. 2 years from now, we want to do this, which means 3 months, we need to do this. 6 months, we need to do this. 1 year, we need to do that. And these don't have to be hard and fast rules. They can be generalizations. But having, you know, I want to accomplish this in 3 to 6 months. You know, not like on, but you can be specific too.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer be specific. So the last week when I check in some incidents and the company and the plan for do something is so general, the statement, and they say, okay, we do that November 22. When I see it's difficult if you're not specific, what did you want to achieve? How you measure it and you close? Oh, yes, we did that. But it's so general. So we planning to do better awareness about security. Okay.
What does that mean?
But what does it mean? So you're training people, you put some procedure, you practice. No, we did. So that is something important, be specific and establish time.
So should we talk about specifics now?
Yeah.
So we want to have not only the specific timeline, but now we want to know what are our measurable outcomes. So the measurable outcomes, which is now after we've started doing stuff, did we accomplish what we wanted to accomplish? So the outcomes could be, we wanted a specific impact on our family, our friends, and our faith. We wanted to spend more times with our family. We want to be closer to them. If we said we want to spend 3 more days over the next 3 months, did we spend those 3 more days? Did we have a party where our friends came? Did we attend church every week because that was our goal? Financially, did we earn 10%? I want to earn 10% more this quarter. Did I do that? Did I get an increase in my position at the company? Did my function improve? Fitness, what does that mean? I run a mile in 9 minutes. I have a goal to run it in 8 minutes and 30 seconds. Did I hit that? So is that a measurable?
Yeah.
That's measurable. The freedom, you know, we want to take a vacation. We want to go camping. Mm-hmm. Did we do that? Did we wanted to go camping in this area? Did we do it? Did we succeed? That you have these goals, and when you succeed, it's nice to say, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it. I did it.
And also in simple stuff. For example, yesterday we went to one restaurant and have a nice dinner together. So that is the freedom that you say, we do that and enjoy and achieve. So, and
there
this
you
is
go.
Your free in vacation. It's just driving.
That's right. It doesn't have to. That's right. We were talking about it. It doesn't have to be that you're going to go to Portugal
for a month. No.
It could be that we talk about we just want to go, or we're going to go picnic on Saturday.
Yes, and one lake close to the house.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just that you have
that's
a goal,
vacation.
You do it, and you do it together, and you may enjoy the hot summer sun by the lake, or you might not, but you've done it together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it becomes something that you learn more about each other by going through these things. Accomplishment and movement towards the goal we talked about. And most importantly, this is a little bit more qualitative than quantitative. But have you increased your love for each other? Has your quality of life increased? Are you more romantic with each other? Did you enjoy more romance and close, intimate time with each other? And have you communicated more with each other? So that might be a little bit less easy. It's less easy to put specific quantity numbers down on. But overall, you can talk to each other and say, do we love each other more? Have we had more quality time together? You know, after our lunch yesterday, it was a very romantic lunch. I feel more, you know, romance in our relationship.
We talk about the show that we want to do today, etc.
and then finally, is that once we have those things that we're measuring, the measurable objectives, is we have to say, did we do that and what improvements do we need to make? So do we have to look at the effectiveness of what we were planning on doing? Compare the outcomes with the expectations. Were the expectations realistic?
Mm-hmm.
So now you can go back and actually not only look at your results and say, did I get the results that I wanted? But now you can go look back at your criteria and say, were my criteria even correct? You know, should I change that?
And I guess that is the moment that you need to do your own analysis, like the couple and balance of every kind of plan that you did, or every kind of action that you have, or also any kind of incident or problem in the relationship, how you handle, what you implement for try to be better And this right. the issue happened. I joke around, if your issue happened again, it's because you know, did a good job for analysis of the problem. So is it the moment that you make a reflection on what happened in the relationship and establish a new plan?
Got it. And look at that. We're gonna put up on the screen one more time our overall plan. So now we've gone through this whole thing. We've gone through the plan, the do, the check, and act, what kind of corrective actions you want to do, and then roll right back into your next strategy, your next short-term and long-term. If your long-term is far enough out there, it may just be continuously updating your short-term strategies in order to get that boat course corrected to get there in the most effective way. So you make these small little corrections as you go, and you find yourself getting there faster or slower, but you constantly update that. So again,
and the lesson learned, the next slide you can put, but the lesson learned is something that the is important to people recognize, you know. Is if you're talking early about see the positive part
right.
in the relationship is when you see the lesson learned.
Yeah.
So if you have some issue with your partner, no bringing the problem. Oh, I remember when you broke in my car because you don't take care well when you're parking in the garage, versus, oh, now we fixing the garage, now you have better open, and now we more safety to prevent that this issue not happen again. So be focused on the lesson learned and how sometimes issues make a more strong relationship versus destroy.
And I like that, how issues can make a stronger relationship. And that's the old, when you put steel in fire, you temper it and make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you never put it in the fire, you don't temper it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you avoid, well, it's like weightlifting. If I don't lift weights, my muscles don't get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
If I lift weights, the harder I push them to a point of exhaustion, the faster they grow. It's the same with our brains, with neuroplasticity. When we challenge and push ourselves to learn new things, learn new information, that's when our brains grow. Finally, what we want to do is review what we spoke about today.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about relationship analysis. Understand where you are in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Understand your strengths and your weaknesses, your opportunities and threats, not only in the relationship, but in the plan. And what do you need for your plan to be successful? To figure out where you need to work on. Then you're able to do your plan development. Develop your plan based upon where you want to go and what additional resources you need, setting the timeline, setting your short and long-term strategy, measuring the milestones. What are the things that are going to say, hey, this is successful? Or what do they say, KPI?
Mm-hmm.
What are your
key process indicators?
There you go, key process indicators. So how do we know that what we did is moving us towards where we're going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about, oh, we want to learn a little bit of Portuguese. Well, did I take a level one test on Portuguese and did I get a 80% or higher? Oh, yes, I did. Great.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. Uh-oh. So now that I didn't, I now look at the measurement of those milestones just we just talked about. What are the improvements and corrective actions? Well, guess what? I didn't do that, so now I need to do that. And one more thing is, we're going to hold each other accountable. We add to it that now it becomes, rather than a month from now we're going to check on it, we're going to check on it weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little bit more a review faster,
yeah,
in order to be able to correct our action sooner, because the sooner you correct an action, the easier it is to keep it on course. If you think about a giant boat moving, you can change the rudder on a real large boat and nothing happens for a mile. The boat just keeps moving. Then all of a sudden the boat starts to turn. And then you say, okay, it's turning enough, let me stop it from turning. And you turn the rudder back and it almost takes another mile. I'm talking about giant cruise ships. It takes a long time for that object to stop going the direction you move it and move it again. So if you make a lot of little adjustments as you're going, it's easier to keep something on course with little adjustments, especially with the thing that you're keeping on course is your life plan with each other as you do a relationship development plan.
Yeah, and also one important thing is when you have some situation can be problem, thinking is the best opportunity for improve versus feel, oh my God, we have a problem.
Okay.
So see the problem like the opportunity for improve versus the is a issue be the stuck in your life.
Which is kind of interesting because all these things fit together. And what we say is when you see an opportunity for improvement, that's almost like anxiety. Mm-hmm. And you can either avoid it and ignore it, or you can approach it, analyze it, and take action.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And that's it. Have yourself a great week. Thank you for listening to the 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim, see you the next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.